Amen. Turn to Daniel chapter 7. As you're making your way there, I'll point out to you that we're in the center of the book. Maybe not by chapter numbers, but we're in the center of the book, and we move from Daniel's firsthand accounts of or some of the firsthand accounts of Daniel's life in Babylon under several different leaders. Tonight in chapter 7, we're back to the time under Belshazzar. I think last week we were under, I'll just flip back and look in chapter 6. We were back to King Darius, who was after Belshazzar, so we're skipping back chronologically. But this is the first of one of the strange visions that we find in the book of Daniel. And I'll just go ahead and tell you from the outset, I do not get into end times madness. I don't get into all the wacky Bible prophecy, messy stuff. I think the Bible is rather straightforward, and when the Bible means to encourage saints, you do not have to interpret it through the Russians and through the Iranians and Iraqians and all the rest, because that interpretation would not have helped the original audience. Right? We have to understand these sorts of things were written to an original audience, and this was meant to encourage them. And so it's also meant generations later to encourage us. So if you're hoping for some crazy, wacky Bible prophecy, won't get it here. But I think you'll get something worth pondering and being encouraged by. So with that, let's give our attention to Daniel chapter 7. And it says this, "In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in the bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel declared, 'I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then, as I looked, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And the mind of a man was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, like a bear, was raised up on one side. It had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, "Arise, devour much flesh." After this, I looked, and behold, another, like a leopard, with four wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had four heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth that devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were like burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him, and 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I looked then because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking, and as I looked, the beast was killed, and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the things. These four great beasts are four kings who shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. Then I desired to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the rest, exceedingly terrifying with its teeth of iron and its claws of bronze, and which devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its foot, and about the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn that came up, and before which three of them fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things, and that seemed greater than its companions. As I looked, this horn made war upon the saints and prevailed over them, till the Ancient of Days came, and the judgment was given for the saints of the Most High, and the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. And he said, as for the fourth beast, there shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all kingdoms. It shall devour the whole earth and trample it down and break it to pieces. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom shall 10 kings arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the former ones. He shall put down the three kings. He shall speak words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall think to change the times and the law, and they will be given into his hand for a time, times and half a time. But the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away, to be consumed and destroyed to the end, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Their kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Here is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly alarmed me, and my color changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. Amen. This is the word of the living God. I can't think of a better situation, and I say this with fear and trepidation. I also say this with a heavy heart, but I can't think of a better situation contemporary to us than our fellow saints in Afghanistan, who no doubt are living in great fear for their lives. They had relative peace, we might say, until recently, and in the last couple weeks, that peace and all has been utterly destroyed. I know they lived in hard times before, but this is no doubt the worst of the times. I think of a brother in Christ who some years ago escaped from the country of Eritrea, one of the most persecuted nations on the face of the earth. I think Afghanistan maybe comes in second, China, North Korea, and others. But imagine what this passage means to them. Now pause there for just a moment. What does a passage like this mean to American Christians? Well, it means the Left Behind series. It means exciting reading and exciting television, because we have never lived in a time, this generation of us, we who sit here, we've never lived in a time where there was nothing left in us but absolute trust. We love fanciful movies. We love fanciful tales. We love all the hype and bells and whistles that Christianity has to offer. But think about our brothers and sisters now in Afghanistan or China or in prison or wherever in hard times. They don't get the pleasures of retail Christianity. They need to know the nitty-gritty. And so, who knows what will face us as Christians in America in the years to come? We might find ourselves in a similar spot with the way our culture is heading. Who knows? But here's the bottom line. A Christian living under a wicked regime, a Christian living in very sin-filled times, and not where it's around you and you just don't cruise through the wrong neighborhoods, but where it is daily impacting your living, your ability to live, but most especially your ability to live and worship, this would be a passage where the rubber would meet the road. And so how does God mean to encourage his saints? How does God mean to encourage the exiles from Jerusalem who are stuck in Babylon? How does he mean to give them sanity? How does he mean to explain reality to them? How does it help us to know historical events like this and even the ones around us? How does it help us and give us endurance? Well, let me explain or break this story apart into both a timeline, but also give you some pictures of the events taking place. Now, if we put Daniel aside for a moment and think of the book of Revelation, lots of similarities, maybe even a similar situation. It's just, oh, say, 400 years later, the church is under great persecution at the end of the first century. John, the apostle, pastor at Ephesus, is on the Isle of Patmos because he's been preaching the word and faithful to God. And he's discouraged. The saints of God are discouraged. God wants to give a revelation, a letter, a word, now a book of our Bible, to the people. And so what does God show his saints in history through Daniel, through Revelation, through other ways of encouragement? He shows them the realities of the spiritual realm. What is taking place in the throne room of heaven? What will take place in human history that can encourage us, give us sanity, give us encouragement? So let me paint the scenes right quick, and then we'll look at the timeline of this. All right, you've got four beasts. You've got four beasts and a description of them. You've got the throne room of heaven with the Ancient of Days. You've got around the throne of the Ancient of Days, that's God the Father, of course. You've got 1,000,000 servants serving. You've also got around the throne of glory 10,000 times 10,000 saints worshiping around God. You start to see parallels here to the book of Revelation, don't you? So you've got these four beasts, they're rulers on earth. You've got the throne room of heaven, the Ancient of Days, with 1,000,000 servants and 10,000 times 10,000 saints. And then at some point you have the Son of Man, Christ, coming on the clouds, and he receives the kingdom, he receives the dominion, he receives the glory. And then you have the saints sitting on thrones with God and with Christ. In judgment. So these are the big scenes. You've got the beast, the Ancient of Days around in the throne, the people around the throne, and the Son of Man. Let's think for just a moment about the beast. Now, I'm not going to say too much about them because we could get bogged down, but there's a beast that looks like a lion. There's a beast that looks like a bear. There's a beast that looks like a leopard. And then there's a fourth beast. And if you noticed as we were reading through Daniel chapter 7, several times it uses the phrase about the fourth beast, it was different. There's not an animal description of the fourth beast. There's a lion, there's a bear, there's a leopard. But what is the fourth beast? It's just a fourth beast that's different. And really we are given a description of what that fourth beast does. But you can imagine the lion and the bear and the leopard, they're terrifying, and they have wings and other things. They have feet, they stand, they have minds like a human, they speak. Their feathers get plucked off. The bear has a rack of ribs in its mouth. You get the idea. These are powerful nations. These are powerful beasts. And what they do is not good. They terrorize. But this fourth beast, if you look at the description that begins in verse 7, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and it broke in pieces, and it stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before which three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And if you skip down to verse 19, I desired to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the rest, exceedingly terrifying with its teeth of iron and claws of bronze, which devoured and broke in pieces. It stamped what was left with its feet, and about it the 10 horns were cast on its head. The other horn that came up, before which three of them fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth and spoke great things, seemed greater than its companions. So you got four beasts, three of them, you might say, are regular old beasts, right? This fourth one, pretty significant. And then you have this little horn popping out of the fourth beast. Well, it's pretty much understood, and you can get off the beaten path if you're not careful, but these would be the great empires of the day. There would be Babylon, and there would be the Medo-Persian kingdom. There would be Greece and then Rome. And this falls right in line with history leading up to the coming of Christ. You know, the Jewish population under Roman authorities. Before that, the Greek control under some of those wicked kings that ruled over Israel before the coming of Christ. And then you back up and you're at the time of Daniel. And so that's pretty easy, right? You got powerful beast. They do bad things, and they represent the kingdoms of the earth that come right up before the coming of Jesus. Well, this fourth beast, terrible and terrifying, different and big and bad, and does difficult things. Well, there's a fifth beast that comes out of this fourth beast. You got the ten horns, the three that broke off and fell down, but there's the little horn. And maybe you've heard people talk about the little horn of Daniel. Who's the little horn of Daniel? Well, probably the Antichrist. The man of lawlessness, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians. He has the eyes of a man and his mouth speaks great things. He seemed greater than the other horns, greater than the other beast. So in this grand picture of what's taking place in human history, powerful, wicked beast. And what's the purpose of this these beasts? They make war on the saints. Now pause there and put on your Wednesday night Genesis hats. Ever since the creation of the world and sin entering in this world, what have the people of God and the wicked people of this earth struggled against? They've struggled against one another, the worship of God, the glory of God, the coming of the Savior. And what have wicked kingdoms always sought to do? Stamp out faithfulness. Stamp out Christianity. And we see it in the culmination of Satan taking Jesus into the wilderness and saying, hey, have all the kingdoms. Be one of the beast. Rule with a heavy hand and an iron fist in this world. We see over and over and over the seed of the serpent from Genesis and the seed of the woman from Genesis at war with one another. And so here's maybe a culmination of it, this last great and wicked beast. And under God's sovereignty, he is given power. This beast is given power to make war on the saints. And our passage tells us in verse 25, he shall speak words against the Most High. He shall wear out the saints of the Most High. How about that? Come to faith in Jesus, all your problems go away. The beast shall think to change the times and the law, and they shall be given into his hand for a time, times and half a time. And then in verse 26, there's that great biblical word, but the court shall sit in judgment and his dominion shall be taken away. So, a message of sanity, a message of encouragement, a message of hope for those oppressed by wicked rulers in this world. And that takes us to the second vision, and it's the throne room of God. And who sits on the throne? It's the Ancient of Days. And his throne has fiery flames. It has wheels of fire. And it's among other thrones, this Ancient of Days, our God, is dressed in white. His hair is pure wool. It shows his righteousness, his wisdom, his agelessness, his eternity. And around him are 10,000 times 10,000 saints. Around him are 1,000 thousands that served him. We know of the angels. We know of the heavenly beings. But we also know of the redeemed saints who are there. And not only does God sit on a throne, there are thrones for the saints of God. And at some point, we will sit in judgment and open the books. And even this great and powerful wicked beast, this little horn and the other beast before and after him, will be judged by the saints. And so there will be war on earth, and the saints will be prevailed upon. We sing hymns of the faith at times. We sing of heresy. We sing of the church under duress. But God always has a people. He always provides for them. The beast will ultimately fail and fall. But one of the things that we have to have great hope in is that coming on the clouds into this throne room of glory is a Son of Man. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will, he already has been at his ascension. We're studying that in our study of Luke. Isn't it helpful to be in Daniel and to be in Luke and Acts and Genesis all at one time in the life and teaching and ministry of the church. It helps us understand the Bible better. But the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, is presented to the Ancient of Days. And as he is presented to the Ancient of Days, he comes on the clouds and he receives his kingdom. He inherits his kingdom, which he won in his acts of redemption. He has given dominion. He has given glory, and it is an everlasting dominion and glory. These beasts won't last long. Gives us a little word of caution, doesn't it? America is so great in many of our eyes. But will it last forever? Oh, no. It will self-destruct. And it'll self-destruct just like these other kingdoms under the plan and sovereignty of Almighty God. But the Son of Man sits on an eternal throne with an everlasting dominion, with everlasting glory. He will be served by all nations, peoples, and languages. As the gospel is preached, even with the war on the saints, we still preach, we still proclaim, we still bear light. And what's the hope of heaven? What's the hope of new life in Christ Jesus? It's that we will be gathered into the presence of God. The redeemed of God will inherit the kingdom as well. We are joint heirs with Jesus, right? We will also rule and reign with Jesus, and we will sit with Christ on thrones of judgment. And so you think of this while you endure hardship. And maybe your hardship in America is low level, but wouldn't this encourage the Afghans or the Chinese or others? The tables will be turned. And while they rule you, and while they dominate you, and even while they may take away your life, the tables will be turned and you will rule them and they will be cast away into everlasting darkness. And so how does God provide sanity and encouragement and hope for his saints? He gives these strange visions. And Daniel says, here is the end of the matter. As for me, my thoughts greatly alarmed me, my color changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. That's our posture, I do believe. We keep this matter in our heart, and as we listen to the news, as we shed tears over the hardships of others, we keep these matters in our heart because this is the only thing that won't make us go nuts, go insane, lose hope. God is on his throne. The Son of Man has inherited and received the kingdom. And not only will he sit in judgment, we will sit with him. So let's be encouraged. Pray with me. Our Lord, we thank you for this grand picture of the sanity of heaven and the wickedness of this world. And we see that one prevails for a time, but one will last forever. And so let us be encouraged and let us have hope in the midst of strange times, for we need it greatly. And we thank you for this, your word, in Christ's name. Amen.